Open up your Bibles to John chapter 8, and I'll do the same. John chapter 8, verses 12 to 30, we'll be reading. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him.
All right. Can I invite the kids up the front, please? All right. So we've just heard this wonderful reading from the book of John, and it's all about the Lord Jesus being the light of the world. So what I'd like to ask first is, who knows when it's light? When is it light? Do you know? When is it light? Any ideas? When is it light? Any ideas? Maybe, how about when is it dark? Any thoughts? What? When is it light? When is it dark? Pardon? At night. It's dark at night. That's right. And when is it light? At day. Very good. That's right, Gloria. Well done. Yeah, so it's light in the daytime and dark at the nighttime. That's how God made it. And when it's dark, I mean really dark, can you see anything? If there was no light, if it was all dark, could you see? No, you wouldn't be able to see things as they are. But what about when it's light? Can you see when it's light? Yeah? Yeah, that's right. And so the reason why I'm talking about this is because in this passage, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And one of the ways we understand that is that Jesus shows us who God is, because he is God and he's come to this world to make God known to us. And that's one of the ways in which he lights up our world, by revealing who he is. So let's come to him now and thank him for making himself known that we can know him. All right, will you join me as we pray? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the light of the world, that you haven't left us in darkness, but that you've come to make God known to us and to bring us to yourself. We thank you and we praise you. Thank you that we get to live in your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, kids. I believe you're heading out to Kids Church at the back there. Joe's got a coffee, it looks like. Ask him if you can have a sip.
All right, we look forward to seeing you all a little bit later, kids. Will you pray with me as we begin? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace to us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation to us. We pray that as we look at Jesus, you, the light of the world this morning, that we would grow in our appreciation of you, our love for you, and our understanding of what that means. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I was catching up with a few mates a few weeks ago. And they asked me what these yellow circle things are in my house. It was sort of in the evening, and I told them it was their night lights. So that I have these things plugged into different PowerPoints around the house. So when I get up at nighttime and I walk around, I can see where I'm going. And they asked me why, and I said it's because I'm scared of the dark. I think one of them was a bit like, what? And the other one was like, yeah, like kind of agreeing with me. I was joking, but anyway, we had a good laugh about that. I'm not really scared of the dark, but the idea of light and darkness is something that we are so familiar with. They're concepts that are almost universally understood. We know light means good. We know dark means bad. Oh, whether it's Star Wars, which my wife is a huge fan of. I thought I liked Star Wars when I was 8. Then I met Kelcher when I was like 19, and I was like, wow. The level to which I liked Star Wars was surpassed massively. But anyway, in Star Wars, you've got the light side and the dark side. You've got the characters like Obi-Wan, who are like light side characters. You've got Darth Vader, who's a dark side character. Although, if you ask me, I can tell you about this later. I sort of feel like Anakin was dark side the whole way through, but you can talk to me about that later. But maybe you think of the concepts more broadly. The truth is, the experience of light and dark is something that we almost universally have every single day. I mean, there's a few places in the world where it's like light for a few months of the year and then dark for a few months of the year. You know, maybe some people live in caves. Some people can't see. There are a few people who maybe have a slightly different experience, but almost universally, we experience light and dark every single day. And when God made the world, he said, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And so intuitively, we know what light is, and we know what darkness is. I could ask Owen to give me a scientific explanation of that, but we intuitively and experientially know what that is. But when we're so familiar with something, it can be quite hard to define it and put our finger on what it actually means. So when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, what is he actually saying? Well, to understand that, we need to understand what light does. And we could spend forever looking at all of the different ways in which Jesus is the light. But today we're going to look at three clear ways that we see Jesus the light that will hopefully help us on unpacking this wonderful truth. But before we get to those three points, I just want to start by stating the claim that Jesus makes in this passage. He claims that he is not of this world, that he's of above, that he's sent by his Father to be the light of the world. And he says that this is established by the testimony of two witnesses, Jesus and his heavenly Father, in fulfillment of the law. So that's the claim. So he's making this astonishing, amazing, massive claim to be the light of the world, and saying that it's authenticated by God the Father and himself. So now the three points that we've got today correspond to three things as well. So there's, what does darkness do? Darkness conceals. It promotes evil and it discourages hope. Jesus is the light who overcomes all darkness. He reveals truth or sheds light, exposes darkness, brings to light, and he gives hope and direction. He lights the way. So if you're trying to think about what does the light do, sheds light on things, brings to light things, lights the way. Let's look at reveals truth or sheds light. When we say something sheds light on something else, we're saying that it shows things as they are. That's what light does. Light reveals things. Without light to see, we don't know what's there, and we don't know what's going on. You know that game where they have that little box or whatever, and they're like, there are 17 things in here, or and you need to write down all of the different things, and they show it to you, and then they take the box away, and you write down. There's always scissors. I'm pretty sure there's always scissors in there, just in case you need a hot tip. But if you were playing that game and it was pitch black, we wouldn't be able to play that game because we'd be in the dark. We wouldn't be able to see. We couldn't see what was in the box to be able to say what was in there. We could guess. We could guess. We'd have a pretty good shot at guessing there was scissors in there, but we'd have no way of knowing. We'd be in the dark. And we talk about being in the dark when we don't know what's going on. You know, if someone says, you know, did Richo tell you that? And somebody else says, no, I was left in the dark about that. We see that we even in the way that we speak, understand these concepts that darkness hides things. It conceals things, whereas light reveals. Light makes things known. Light shows things as they are. And when it comes to God, were it not for him revealing himself, we'd be in the dark. We'd have no clue. We'd have no idea of who he is, what he's done, and why that matters. But praise God that he does and has revealed himself, that Jesus is the light of the world, and that while darkness conceals, light reveals. Jesus really does make known to us who God is. So let's consider Jesus in his incarnation, life, teaching, death, resurrection, and ascension. Just quickly go through Jesus and his life and the different aspects there that we're looking at and see how he sheds light. Firstly, the incarnation. Isaiah 9:2 says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." And that's about Jesus' incarnation, that the people were in darkness, but now that Jesus, the Son who was born, the Son who was given, comes into the world, it's like the lights are going on. The light is coming on because the light is coming down. And those who were formerly in darkness now see. And then John 1:9 says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And that's also, again, talking about Jesus. How John the Baptist, who wasn't the light, was bearing witness to Jesus, who is the light. And so when Jesus comes, this little baby is the light of the world. You know, there's that star above him, you know, showing where he is. But he himself, he's the light of the world. This is God himself showing up in human history because of his great love for us, shining more brightly than we could ever imagine, infinitely brightly. Because here he is making known to us who God is. That's his incarnation, his life. Jesus lived a beautiful life of perfect obedience to his Father and perfect demonstration of God's character. In John 8:29, it says, "And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." And that's not arrogance. That's not just some random bunch of words. It's truth. Jesus' life perfectly demonstrates that. Throughout his life, Jesus continually prioritized time with his Father. Think about when he was a child and in the temple, and his parents were gone, and he's like, where else was I going to be but in my Father's house? There's that priority he has to be focused on his Father and with his Father. And that continues throughout his life. You know, you see many times where he goes and retreats away from the others so that he can go and pray. Go and spend time with his heavenly Father. And Jesus remained focused on God and the mission that he'd been sent for. In John, we hear, and in this passage, Jesus talks about being sent by the Father again and again and again. And Jesus, in being the sent one of the Father, perfectly follows his Father. And as he does that, we just get to see this light, this beauty, this radiance of who he is. And he does that also by showing God's character to us. We aren't left guessing who God is or what he's like or how he operates. We see in Jesus the ultimate shedding of light on that reality. God is gracious. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's welcoming to the weird and the wacky and the ones that people walk away from. He's embracing of the least, the last, and the lost. Jesus hung out and ate with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus called out those religious types who oppressed others. And Jesus performed many signs, showing his identity and highlighting his compassion, like restoring sight to the blind man, which comes up in the next chapter. So his life sheds light on who God is. And in the Bible, we see that link. It talks about in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus shining brightly. His teaching, John 8:28. So Jesus said to them, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Jesus walked the walk and he talked the talk. What I mean by that is through his speech, he made known God's truth in the most profound ways. Consider his Sermon on the Mount, his parable of the prodigal and God the Father's amazing pursuit of sinners. I was reading that to the kids the other day and just crying because it's just so beautiful. God's pursuit of us in bringing us back home and welcoming us into his arms. And Jesus taught all of these beautiful things. He shed light on what the kingdom is all about, and his statements of truth that concisely convey what life and eternal life is really all about. There's a song called Believe by Brooks and Dunn, which is a country band, so, you know, bear with me. They're amazing, by the way. But in this song, the guy, it talks about finding more and more truth in the words written in red. That's is one of the things he says. Now, I don't have a red letter Bible. If I did, I'd put all the letters in red. yeah, because it's all God's word. But the point that I just want to draw out from that is that the truth of what God has said in his word is impactful because it sheds light. It really does. He really does make known to us things as they are. And the more and more we read, the more and more we spend time with God, the more we understand how profound what he's given to us really is. So Jesus is teaching. Then Jesus' death. Matthew 27:45 tells us that when Jesus was on the cross, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. As Jesus hung on that cross, the whole land went dark. You know, in his amazing love, Jesus, who is the life and the light, took on all of our darkness, all of our sin, all of our shame, and he bore it in our place. And then out of that darkness, he rose again, his resurrection, he burst forth. Death was powerless to stop Jesus, the light of life. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Acts 2:24, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. I love that verse. It just states it so beautifully that actually death is not powerful enough to stop Jesus. And as similarly, darkness is not powerful enough to overcome the light of Jesus. As the sun rose on the glorious resurrection morning, the women and the disciples after them found out the wonderful truth that the big yellow one in the sky wasn't the only sun that rose that morning. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, rose again. He is the light who cannot be overcome by darkness. He is the life whom death can't stop. He's victorious, triumphant, resplendent. And then his ascension, Hebrews 1:3-4 says, he is the radiance, again, light language, of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And this passage beautifully links Jesus' ascension to his identity as the light. You know, that he is the radiance of the glory of God. And then after he's made purification for sins, he goes up to be with the Lord the Father, and he sits down at his right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ at his right hand, superior to angels in every way. And he reigns there as the ultimate one, with the name above every name. The one who is light rules now and forevermore. So if you were to think light, what does light do? One of the things that light does is it sheds light on things. And as you consider Jesus in his beauty and his shining, his the way in which his incarnation shines light for people who walked in darkness, the way in which his life shows truly the light of God. You think of his teaching, how he showed us things that we would have no idea about. You think of his death, how he took on our darkness, but then rose again because he couldn't be contained by it, and then ascended where he rules and will return from. It's amazing to dwell on Jesus and who he is, and to think about his identity as the light of the world. This is just one passage in John's gospel that we have before us today, but if you look throughout the Bible, you will see so many examples of the light of the Lord Jesus bursting forth into our world. And that is a beautiful, wonderful reality. So I encourage you, as you're reading your Bible this week, have a think about, where can I see the light of Jesus shining forth here? And then, we'll continue to the next point. Jesus brings things to light. He exposes darkness. There are certain kind of things that like darkness, aren't there? The sort of things that don't want to be found out, that would rather lay low than stand exposed. We might call these things shady, you know, someone doing a shady deal. When I was over in Sydney recently, there was a guy who was with us who he was like, oh, I gotta go do a shady deal. And I was like, what's going on? He came back with hiking boots that he'd organized to buy in the city from someone on Marketplace or something. But it wasn't really a shady deal. But there are shady deals that go down where people exchange, you know, and it's not good. There's also works of darkness. And Spurgeon has this great illustration where he talks about what kind of people would like all the lights to be turned off at night. And he says, you know, burglars, people creeping around doing evil things, and various others who want to do things under the cloak of darkness. It's like, if you don't have anything to hide, why are you afraid of the light? Yeah. And I think that's a really helpful illustration. It's true, isn't it? It's true not only of our individual actions, but of the very forces of darkness themselves as well. In the mind of darkness and the forces of evil, light spoils everything. You know, rather than making everything better, light is seen as something to actively avoid and fight against. Another way we talk about light is to say that it brings things to light, exposes things in darkness. No longer are they hidden, but they're brought into the open. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Jesus, in today's passage, we hear about judgment. He talks about how he judges along with the Father, and his judgment's always true. But it's a bit difficult to understand part of this, because Jesus talks about not judging, but then a bit later, he talks about having much to judge. Did anyone notice that as we were reading that? I wonder why. I think the way to understanding that is to recognize Jesus in his first coming and his second coming. The judgment day is coming, and everything will be judged fully and finally. And so that is one of the, I think, types of judgment that we have in view here. But there is a way in which Jesus coming in his first time is also like judgment. It's not the primary thing he came to do. You know, in his first coming, he's primarily coming to bring salvation and call people to repentance that they might have eternal life. But there is a sort of judgment as well that's related to the light coming in. And especially this bringing things to light. Because Jesus, who is the light, makes evil known and he exposes it. John 3:19-21 says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You see that? The judgment that the light has come into the world. And then for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So do you see there that there's a contrast, that Jesus, who is the light, coming into this dark world, exposes things. He brings things to light. Now, have a think about this in the life of Jesus. When he showed up in the world, one of the things that happened is the forces of darkness come out of the woodwork. Well, you know, like as in people, but they seem to like just show up everywhere, don't they? You know, there's all of these demons and the possession and all of those sorts of things when Jesus, the light, shows up on earth. They know who he is. Jesus, who is the light, exposes all of that darkness. That darkness stands exposed in the presence of Jesus. Jesus also is the light who exposes sin. In the presence of the one who is light, sin stands exposed. So take, for example, those who would oppress or look down upon other people in the time of Jesus. That sin, that sinful self-righteousness, stands exposed in the presence of Jesus. Similarly, the like flagrant disregard for God also stands exposed, because here God is, who's come in his great love and who's shining light, and people here still didn't want him because their works were evil. And sometimes we see that, don't we, in our world? You know, if you talk to someone and they're kind of like, oh, you know, maybe I'll become a Christian when I'm about to die, because, and you know, maybe they're in their 20s or something, and they're thinking, well, you know, I've got a lot of life to live. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to do. I don't want anyone holding me back. But maybe at the end, you know, because this is probably true, I need to do something about it then. Now, that is a very dangerous thing to do, because if we, you know, reject God repeatedly over a period of time, it becomes less and less likely. You know, obviously God can do miracles, but it becomes less and less likely that we would return to him. But also, I want to point out that when people take that approach, they're actually not embracing life. They're actually embracing death. You know, to live a life without Jesus is to live a life without hope, which we're going to talk about in a bit more in a moment. Another thing that we see exposed in the presence of Jesus, who is the light, is the folly of this world. Folly is a cool word. We don't use it enough, I reckon. But if you think about philosophy and worldly thinking and worldly religion, there's a lot of ideas, aren't there? There's a whole lot of ideas. And if we all operate in this kind of space, you know, then we can just think about stuff. And then occasionally what happens is, as Spurgeon talks about this as well, he's like, there's a generation of philosophers, and then the next generation comes along and proves that the last generation weren't worth having. And then, you know, then the next generation, it's just like this cycle of philosophers. And that sort of thing continues to happen. I did a bit of philosophy at uni, and that's not where you find the light. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of darkness. People groping around in the dark, trying to find truth, if they even believe truth exists. And the reality is that Jesus is the light who exposes all of that. You know, there are all these people talking about all kinds of random stuff that isn't true. But Jesus, who is the truth, who is the light, comes to this world and exposes all of those things. You know, there are people, you know, in philosophy and stuff, sometimes people say something true. That's because they've plagiarized it from God, because all truth belongs to God. But when you consider what they're saying in totality, many people try to find, they're just looking around in the dark, sort of like that game we spoke about earlier. They have no idea whether or not there's a scissors in the box, because they can't see. And that's what life is like for all of us before God opens our eyes. And then we see on the cross the ultimate expose of evil, because we see where the forces of darkness take us. We see where our sin takes us. We see the murdering of the only truly innocent person to have ever lived, the one true king, the Son of Man, the Son of God. him put to death in a brutal and horrific way. And yet, even when Jesus is murdered, all of those forces of darkness are powerless to keep him there, because he is the light who can't be stopped. He's the life who can't be killed. And so that brings us to our final point, which is thinking about how Jesus lights the way. Another way we think about darkness is being lost. Who's ever been outside at night and been lost in the darkness? Yeah, okay. Yeah, a few of us. It happened to me once when I was in London. I wouldn't recommend it. Basically, if you're hanging around in a pretty scary part of London at nighttime by yourself, I wouldn't walk through a park. This is a hot tip. Why? Because it's dangerous. you can find yourself in all kinds of challenging situations. I remember walking around and there was like, I think it was a sort of a gang of people, and I just kept walking and I didn't stop and look. But fortunately, the Lord kept me safe. I was so thankful once I saw the light and could be back out of the park again and back onto the road. It was far less likely that someone was going to hurt me. And I think that just gives us a picture of what it's like to be lost. When we're in the dark and we're lost at nighttime, we don't know where we're going, and we also don't know how to get out of there. We can find it really difficult to, we could go this way, that way, that way, whatever. And who knows how we're going to get out of there? What we need is light. We need someone to light the way. And that's exactly who Jesus is. We also speak about when we're going through dark times as it being like a tunnel, and then, it being darkness, but we see light at the end of the tunnel, because we link the idea of light and hope. And Jesus is that hope for us. So the final way we're going to think about this is how Jesus lights the way, how he gives hope and direction. The first hope that I want to talk about is the hope of salvation. We already mentioned this about in Isaiah 9, where we spoke about how Jesus is the light who comes into this world, who shines, that the people who are walking in darkness can now receive this light, that on them light has shone, that the way of salvation has been made known, that we and they can see how we can be saved through Jesus coming. That we see that, yes, this is where all the promises of God were pointing. In the Old Testament, you read promise after promise after promise, and you look forward and you think, how are they all going to come true? And in Jesus, we see all of them come true. We've with our kids in Bible time, we've been looking at Abraham and the promises to Abraham. And how are those promises fulfilled? Well, they're fulfilled in the ultimate son of Abraham, Jesus. And so thereby we get to be children of Abraham too. So there's that hope of salvation that comes to all those who believe in Christ, all those who receive him who is the light. Then there's also the direction that he gives us, of showing us the way. He leads us to himself by his Spirit. He continues to work in our hearts to conform us to his image. He draws our minds and our hearts to focus on Christ as he's been revealed to us. Maybe you've had that in your life, and you can think of moments that you've experienced that, and you thought maybe you weren't giving a thought to Christ, but then he convicted you by his Spirit, and he brought you close to himself, and you've had that moment of really being, it's like the lights have come on. And those moments are beautiful moments, ones to be grateful for. And we know that God is not far from any of us. And he's given us his word. So let's pray that he gives us eyes to see him as he is. The final one that I want to draw our attention to is the hope of having the light. If you look with me in verse 12, Jesus says this: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this is fulfillment of Isaiah 9, and it's showing that Jesus will those who follow Jesus, not only will they not walk in darkness, not only will they see the light, they will have the light. What does it mean to have the light? Well, it means to receive Jesus himself. You see, we not only get to understand things as they really are, see darkness exposed, those things are true and essential, but we also get to have Jesus shine his light in us and through us. You see, that is the astonishing, one of the astonishing things in this passage, that Jesus, who is the light, has come to shine his light that we might not walk in darkness, but have the light, have him, to receive him, to know him, to be given him by his grace. He gives us himself. He gives us his light so that we can become like him. And that is a wonderful privilege, to be one with God, to be in Christ, to be filled with the one who is truly light. Now, if you're wondering about how this works, then perhaps it's worth just thinking of people in your life that you know or perhaps have known in the past who've just radiated the love of Jesus and the light of Christ. Can you think of someone like that in your life? And you think of those people and you think, wow, like it's just like this tangible thing where you're like, I can just see God's work in your life and how that radiates through to other people. And I think that's just we're starting to get a glimpse of that light, because that light is coming from Jesus himself. So he, in other parts of the Bible, calls us the light of the world. But in what sense are we the light of the world if he's the light of the world? It's him in us that we can shine for him. So I think of it as like a mirror. If we're the mirror and he's blazing, if we turn away or if we, you know, smudge the mirror or whatever, it won't shine as much. If we take our focus away from Jesus, we're not going to shine his light as much. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we look to him and we focus on him by his grace, then we'll shine more and more brightly each and every day. Unfortunately, God isn't just saying to you, hey, you know, you better keep your mirror clean. He enables us to do that by the work of his Spirit. He hasn't left us alone to do this. He's given us everything we need by his grace to continue to walk closely with him. If we feel like we're in the dark and we don't know what's going on, look to Jesus and the beauty of his life, death, resurrection, his incarnation, his ascension, and his teaching to shed light on the truth. If we've been walking in darkness, come to Jesus, who will bring us into the light that we might walk with him. And if we're feeling lost, look to Jesus, who will light the way and who will give us of himself that we might have the light. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your goodness to us. Thank you that you are merciful. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. We praise you. We thank you that you radiate this beauty. And it's just, it's a delight to look upon your life and to see how you have shone and continue to shine in ways that go beyond our comprehension and our imagination. You know, we think about how you cared for the downtrodden. We think about how you showed compassion on people. We think about how you continued to teach truth in the face of extreme opposition. Even you went to the cross, Lord, for us. You took on all of our darkness and you rose again. The light that could not be stopped by darkness, the life that could not be killed by death, that you did die, but then you rose powerfully again. And that, Lord, you reign. And we pray that your light would shine brightly from each of our hearts and from us as a community. We pray that in our suburb here at High Wycombe, that the light of Jesus would shine just so brightly that many more people might receive that light as well. And we pray, Lord, as well, that for the times where we feel lost in darkness, that we would feel your peace in the light. We pray that for anything that we're holding back from you in our lives, whether there's a sin that we're holding on to in the darkness that we don't want anyone to know about, or whether there's something in our lives that is just not of you, that is just weighing us down, Lord, help us to bring those things into the light. We turn away from those to you, Jesus. We give it all over to you. And we pray also, Lord, that you would help us and guide us to you, that we might have your light and live in your light now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.